Hey everybody, welcome to the DCAU Review Discuss This League. That's right, it's our brand new podcast venture that we are launching here as a companion piece to the standard DCAU Review episodes. That's right, dropping in your same DCAU Review feeds. Liam and I discussed this and decided, hey, why don't we give the opportunity to discuss some topics outside of our normal DCAU episode reviews. So don't worry, you'll still be able to hear your standard DCAU review episodes on your podcast feeds and at DCAUreview.com, but these episodes will be dropping from time to time in your standard feed as well, and these will be a panel format where we'll be discussing things from the DCAU. It could be DC Comics continuity, DC movies. We're not quite sure exactly all the topics that we'll discuss in the future, but we are excited to launch this. I will be your moderator today. I am Cal, and with me, my good brother, good friend, and a panelist on today's inaugural to discuss this league.
Yes, I'm very excited to be here today for the first episode of Discuss This League. And with us today, Cal, we're not alone. And joining us, we have two guests today. First up on the panel with me is Chris Lord from the Tim Talk podcast. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Very excited about this. Also, I don't know if you'd already told me that it was called the Discuss This League. I didn't know that going in, and I am here for it. That is a sort of like top quality pun that I love and Cameron hates. So this is just a beautiful moment for me. Thank you for letting me be a part of it.
So you're saying that we need to change the name if we ever want Cameron on the show?
No, I would just force him to do the panel, and he would have to just know that he was participating and encouraging bad puns all the way through, and that would bring me even more joy. So
love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and also joining us from the 12th Level Intellects podcast and, of course, the YouTube channel Watchtower Database, we have Mr. Maddie Washburn joining us as well. Maddie, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be had. I feel like usually whenever someone reaches out to Watchtower Database for like a, hey, come on our show, it's typically James. So it's nice to just put the knife in a little bit. My turn.
We had James on an episode of the DCAU review, and let's just say he wasn't all that, you know. We tried him out. We know that he thinks very highly of himself, so we figured, who better to have on than somebody else who maybe isn't as cocky? No, just kidding. We love.
From what y'all were saying before we got on mic, it sounded like y'all are saving the best for last, and that's the only reason Ted hasn't been on yet.
Good point. He did moderate, of course. He did moderate our panel that we had, courtesy of the Watchtower Database. Your anniversary special. It was us and, of course, mm-hmm. Chris and his partner Cameron on the show, and me and Liam discussed the essential DCAU episodes. So we've had some interaction with Ted, so who knows? We'll have him maybe on a future Discuss This League panel. Guys, so we are here today to discuss things. Imagine that. Exciting news came out of the world of the DC animated universe. That's going to be our first topic that we are going to cover on this very first episode here. So who better than to have a couple of other DCAU contributors? Don't forget, Chris and Maddie, why don't you guys talk a little bit about, just briefly, your own podcast and your own ventures that you guys do. Chris, I'll throw it over to you first. Talk a little bit about Tim Talk, just kind of like what you guys do and where you guys can be found.
Yeah. So yeah, we're Tim Talk, 2 M's named after, of course, Bruce Tim, which is obvious if you know the show and not obvious if you don't, which is always a fun thing to explain to people. Great SEO choice on our part right up front. My friend Cameron and I have been doing this now for almost 4.5 years. And so, we cover a similar space to you guys over the DC review, although I will say that you do a better job. You have like a proper review. Aww. I tend to just kind of come on and just talk whatever we're feeling. Mostly it's about the shows we're there to discuss. Sometimes it's not. the one difference is we are going in chronological order. So at this point now, we are in the second season of Justice League. I'm going to be hitting Starcross very soon, which I'm very, very excited about. So we do that, and then occasionally we'll throw out a bonus episode if like a major tempo release comes out, or Cameron wants to talk about single artist movie soundtracks. That was one episode we did.
Nice.
I think still our most random one. Kind of proud of that one, actually, though. But you know, so we've been doing that for a while, and it's a lot of fun. But it's you know, the best part about it, it's had an opportunity to meet all of you guys and discover this amazing DCAU community. So very excited to be here and be a part of this.
Right. And then, of course, Maddie, you are a contributor to the Watchtower database, which, as you already mentioned, is sort of this three-headed hydra that you guys kind of this monstrous YouTube channel that you guys, I know you guys did have a podcast at one point. It's on hold right now, but I hear there's rumors that it might be relaunching soon. But talk a little about what you do over at Watchtower database.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, for the podcast thing, I think it's coming back around soon. We had plans to like get together in like a studio situation, at least me and James, since we live pretty close to each other, and have Ted kind of beamed in over a TV screen or something and do it as a live show. But then of course coronavirus happened and put everything on hold. But so in lieu of continuing the podcast, we are, you know, just mainly focusing on the YouTube channel itself. We tried to cover almost anything DCAU, and that can range anywhere from doing a commentary track for Critters, the best episode of the entire DCAU, all the way up to lore dumps or behind the scenes information. Like we uncovered somewhere around like 40 possible episodes for Batman the Animated Series that never ended up going all the way through production, stuff like that. It's been a lot of fun. The team as a whole has been doing this for the past 5 years. So maybe you heard of us, but if you ain't, then, you know, give us a little YouTube look. It's real easy. You just type in Watchtower database and we're the one that's there.
Absolutely.
unless if you find search results about Jehovah's Witnesses, then that's a whole different Watchtower database.
Got it.
But you know, I feel like this is another SEO situation.
Well, you guys do a great job. Both of you guys do excellent jobs in your own mediums. And thank you both for coming on today. As I said, Liam is also contributing to the panel. Of course, Liam is my co-host on our DCAU review, which if you're listening to this, you already listened to the DCAU review probably. But we, of course, do reviews of classic DC Animated Universe episodes, anywhere from Batman the Animated Series all the way up through Justice League Unlimited and everything in between. Liam, we are kicking off this week's Discuss This League panel. As we said, there's been some exciting news in the DC AU review or DC AU world as of late. And that has been that there's this rumor that with the launch of HBO Max, there might be a new series launching soon, or in production, or in pre-production, or there's lots of rumors swirling about.
A lot of rumor and innuendo out there, but yes, this latest round of speculation was set off by Kevin Smith on his Fat Man Beyond podcast, where he and some of his coworkers were talking. Agreed that they had both heard some scuttlebutt about a potential revival for Batman the Animated Series on HBO Max. Not a ton of details beyond that on what that would be, and that's why we wanted to do this topic as our first panel, which is to discuss what should, if there's going to be a revival, let's just assume these rumors are true, what would we, the four of us, want to see from a Batman the Animated Series revival? And we have a few different jumping off points that I think will cover most of what we would like to see.
Absolutely. So we have our panelists here. We're going to ask these questions. We're going to do this kind of round robin panel discussion style, so you guys, you know, have a free flowing conversation, and I'll be here just to moderate. It's kind of like those sports yell shows that you see on ESPN where, you know, there's one guy whose job is to interject and stir the pot every now and then. So I will throw out this first question, and we are going to start with Mr. Lord, if you don't mind, Chris. So the first question that I have for the panel here is, is this a good idea? Like, is going back to the well, because we've seen it have various successes across various different media where you go back to something. And for instance, we talked about before we went on the air, Star Wars. You had Star Wars sequels that received quite the mixed reaction from your various different fans. Obviously, Star Wars is sort of an anomaly. You already have this built-in fan base that's kind of going to support it regardless. But we've also seen things like, you know, I don't know. There's been a lot of things that you've gone back to and it's been like, this isn't very good. I wish they hadn't done this. So what's your thought on this? Is this a good idea?
So I don't think this is a good idea, actually. I don't know how you can approach this in a way that is going to be satisfying. Like, I think a similar like comparison could be the Animaniacs reboot, which I loved the Animaniacs when it was on, you know, and that was 30 years ago, but you know, it ended and then it just wasn't around for a long time. It just kind of existed in the background and kind of disappeared. People knew it, would rewatch old episodes, and it came back. And I actually have continuously forgotten to sit down and watch the new show. I know people that have, and they said it was fine. And I feel like the challenge they have with BTOS specifically is, it's not like it's been gone for 30 years. I mean, it had another 10 years worth of spin-off shows and sequel shows, various sequel movies, even up to the last few years, if we want to count things like Batman and Harley Quinn and Justice League versus Fatal Five. And there's so much material that's been covered already. I don't know how you do a revisit of BTOS specifically and make it worth watching. Like, do you bring back the animation style? You know, do you set it back in that same time period? Do you make it just kind of more one-off things and ignore the rest of the canon? You could do that, but I don't know if that'd be satisfying to everyone who really loves everything that came after it. And I feel like BTOS has the most popularity of all of those shows, probably by a pretty significant margin, which is why they're floating that show specifically. I just feel like it's hard to capture on a nostalgia of something that continued on for a long time and actually had a pretty nice definitive conclusion already at the end of Justice League. So for me personally, I would hope they don't do this. I hope it's just a rumor and that it kind of fizzles out and goes away, you know. But that being said, if it's done well, I'd be open to, you know, seeing what could come out of it. And I feel like you guys might have some good ideas on how to actually approach it in a way that would make it worthwhile. So
awesome. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a little bit here. Maddie, what about you? I know generally, just from seeing your commentary on the Batman, the Adventures Continue comic book, which is sort of, depending on your, it's supposed to be, I guess, loosely tied in with Batman, the animated series. I know you didn't love some of the storytelling from that. Does that affect how you see a reboot happening here? Or is your fear that it would be more of the same? Or do you feel like that with the right people, this could be something really good?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a bit apprehensive about the situation as a whole. Like, especially if it's only done as a getting the band back together type situation, which, like, you would think that's what would make it good. But, you know, maybe my nose is too close to all of this stuff. And like, I've been able to pick up on some things that maybe the normal fan wouldn't. But, like, around the time that Batman and Harley Quinn came out, like, Bruce Timm himself was saying that he didn't go back and rewatch any of the stuff to make sure anything lines up. And that seems to be a notion that kind of followed through with The Adventures Continue with Paul Dini and Alan Burnett. Not even just with, you know, the continuity errors that were present in that comic itself, but like the characterizations, right? Like how Bat, we get that scene of Batman like kicking Nora Freeze's dead body over in front of Mr. Freeze, when, like, if you look back at the earlier Batman Adventures stuff that you know Bruce Timm and them did, he's comforting Mr. Freeze when he's dealing with his dead wife and everything. And to go from that Batman to the Batman who's just like, I don't, you're crazy and I gotta prove you're crazy. Let me kick your wife. like it just feels, it feels like a slap in the face to people who are still watching, you know, this stuff all these years later. And I think we can probably all agree that out of the recent DCAU revival type stuff, you know, the Batman Adventures Continue, Batman and Harley Quinn, Justice League versus Fatal Five, the best of them was Justice League versus Fatal Five. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of that comes from, instead of, you know, the old heads trying to modernize what they had done, it comes from a fan of these shows writing like how they feel the story, you know, would fit in with the rest of the show. Someone who's still watching these shows is doing that. And I feel like that's what can be done to make it good, is you've got to bring in people around our age who have this connection with these characters, who have been brought up on these characters and know them inside and out, to write them. And like, that's not me throwing my hat in the ring for a writing gig on this.
But you're not all. Not doing
it. Yeah, exactly.
Good shot, Maddie. I want more Eric Carrascos in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's going to treat it with the respect that it deserves, rather than just being like, yeah, I kind of remember the Batman that I wrote a few years back. Here you go. Here he is. This is him kicking dead bodies.
This is good enough.
Yeah.
This is good enough. Well, that's fair. Liam, I'll throw the same question over to you. Do you agree with your co-panelists there, or do you have your own thoughts on this?
So I do think both of our co-panelists made good points. What I would add is I was a huge fan of Arrested Development. I think the first three seasons of that show are probably the best comedy, certainly like network television comedy, maybe ever written. Like, that show is perfection to me. And the very few people were more excited when it came back, because as kind of what Maddie was saying, like, the whole band was back together. They had the original creator as the showrunner. All the actors came back. I'm sure they're a few years older, but they're all still, you know, talented people. So you're like, how can this not be great? And then we got that fourth season of Arrested Development on Netflix in whatever that was, 2013, 2014. And it was bad. Like, nobody seemed to enjoy it. And then they did one more season after that, like 6 years later, which I think was maybe a little better. And I think my point is, I watched it through even though I wasn't enjoying it, out of like a weird, like, my nostalgia for the old stuff kept me watching it, even though I wasn't really enjoying it. And
the compulsion.
Yes, exactly. It's like, well, this used to give me that, like, that endorphin rush that, like, I used to love this. So, and at some point I realized, like, well, I'm maybe the show, whether or not that show was good or not in those last two seasons, it's like nothing was ever going to compare to the memory of those first few seasons in my head. And I think that's another thing that they would be contending with, no matter if it's completely the original crew of Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, and they get some of the directors and storyboard artists back. They could bring the entire original crew back, same animation studios and everything. It's not going to be the same, because we're all older now. We've all experienced this. And to Chris's point, we've already experienced what the next evolution of this series was, which was the new Batman Adventures and Superman and Beyond and JLU. So I think that's whatever may come of this, and whoever's involved, we're gonna be fighting with our own nostalgia. And that's not to say I wouldn't want to see it, because again, much like you know, we've all talked about with the Adventures Continue series, like, I was just excited to see, like, characters like Azrael and the Deathstroke in that style. Like, that was cool, and that kind of made it all worth it to me. So, like, it's one of those exactly. Like, so Maddie just held up the Deathstroke figure. So, like, I like that we got to see that. I'm happy that that was made, But to Maddie's point, there's also that part where you're reading it. We're like, if they tweaked this or they did this better or they changed this or this character didn't do this in this moment, this would be so much better. So more. And then you're kind of like trying to edit and rewrite stuff in your own head. And I feel like, and again, I think that comes from us all being, you know, fans who create content based on these series. And so maybe, yeah, like Maddie said, maybe we're all a little too close to this, but kind of the thought ringing out in my head is the Arrested Development comparison, where it's like, no matter how good or not good this will be, it's up to people's memories of watching it when they were younger. Cause that
to add
to that point, that's actually something that Bruce Timm himself had brought up, that I had seen in an interview with him, like around 2016, 2017. It was like either around the time of Killing Joke or Batman and Harley Quinn, where he was just like, look, I mean, I don't think I want to go back to that world because I'm having to compete with everyone's memories of it. And I would much rather, you know, just move on and go, you know, still use these same characters, but in a world that isn't as bogged down with people's nostalgia kind of situation. So I think you definitely hit the nail on the head right there.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with it. I just think, given they decided to do BTOS specifically, or that's the specific rumor is it's going to be BTOS, that's what gives me pause. If they were like, hey, we're going to revisit this universe, we're going to do more Justice League, more Static Shock.
Justice League Beyond.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think there's a lot of room to explore, but it's hard for me not to put on like my cynical cap when I heard this news, and it just kind of felt like maybe HBO Max is trying to dip their toe in the water to see what kind of reaction they would get as to whether they want to invest in trying to get more people onto that platform, which is not doing as well, I think, as they had hoped. So
what you mean this is all about money? Get the heck out of here.
I know. How dare I think this way? It's so cynical of me.
How dare you. Well, actually, that, Chris, that's a great segue to our second question here for the panel, and we'll go in reverse order this time, so I'll start with you, Liam. So you mentioned the rumor is that they are specifically, Kevin Smith on his podcast mentioned Batman, the animated series. Of course, we don't know whether or not that means going back to that original Batman, the animated series style, doing more stuff in the new Batman Adventures style, or just doing more stories just around Batman. We're not quite sure. He didn't have specific details about it, so we're sort of like fantasy booking here. So Liam, we'll start with you. So if you were in charge, if you were the head of the head producer for this series, what time period are you setting it in? And do you want it to directly to connect into and reference stuff that's already happened? Like, you know, if you set, let's just say that you set it year four of the Justice League, as opposed to, you know, whatever year three or whatever it was that we left off in. Or as Maddie said, something like Justice League Beyond, where we learn more about Terry's contributions after his introduction to the league there. Where do you want it to be connected, or would you rather it be more standalone? So time period and then connected or standalone stories.
So yeah, that's funny. I was thinking about that because I think it was Chris. I'm sorry. We've all been saying a lot of smart things already, but one of you, BTAS is the one that people probably have the most nostalgic for. The casual fan probably has the most nostalgia for BTAS. So brought it back in the new Batman Adventures or JLU style. I wonder if there would be the lapsed fans, the people who were 10 years old in 1993 and watched the show on Fox Kids, hear it's coming back, and then they see the new Batman Adventures style, and maybe they associate that more with, that was kind of when I was getting older and kind of getting out of it. I don't have as much nostalgia for that style. So I do think it would be interesting to go back to that original animated series. Now, it would obviously, I'm sure, still be kind of sharpened up and simplified. I don't expect them to go back to the baggy suits and some of that stuff that they did in the original series. But I do think if we are targeting this directly at the most nostalgic version of Batman, the animated series, for a lot of people, I do think it's that original series that it probably should be set in.
Perfect. Maddie?
So I am going to think a little bit outside of the box on this one, and I'm going to say we have like 5-6 different Batman character models already in this world, right? We've got like the original bat suit that he had in Mask of the Phantasm. We've got the BTAS mm-hmm. one, the TNBA one, the Justice League one, and then like we've got the model of him, you know, in the Beyond bat suit from the start of Rebirth. Sure. Put it as an anthology series, right? And hop all around all different points of Bruce Wayne's life and maybe make it an interconnected story within itself, where there's a case that he picked up early on in his career, and all of these different stories that we're seeing all end up tying into him, like towards the end of his career, finally solving this thing. Right. And that I feel like that's an easy way to not have to worry about the continuity, more or less, but mm-hmm. also gives you way to bring in a lot more of the expanded universe, right? Because if we're hopping around time, we can get the Justice League, we can get the Tim Drake Robin, the Dick Grayson Robin. And, you know, if they want to treat Adventures Continue as canon, we could even get some Lost Years stuff with Jason Todd Robin. Like it even gives reason to like maybe even flash forward to old man Bruce with Terry, mm-hmm. you know, like they've got a huge timeline of stuff and so much, you know, pre-production art made from all of these past shows. Like it would be crazy not to utilize that, even just as a cost saving measure.
Again, it is all about money here. Chris, what are your thoughts on that one?
I actually think like Maddie's idea is really great, that even anthology series. Like I that would be the dream, right? To not only get to visit numerous shows in different time periods, but have it be in the style too. Like it would be cool to see that, you know, one episode is done in the BTOS style, another episode is done in like the Justice League style. I think that would be the most interesting and exciting for all of us who love that entire continuity. Less said about Zeta the better. But how to get it in?
Them slight words.
I know. How
to get it in? I'll give it to you. Okay. I'll give it to you.
You know, I think that would be the most interesting thing to do, you know, but I doubt that's the route they're going to go. I mean, if I were picking a show from that universe, I'd love it as it continued. I think Batman Beyond or Static Shock are the two that there's really been no follow up to them in any sort of capacity. Like even Justice League Beyond the Fatal Five movie, you know, in a lot of ways, Young Justice taken up that mantle of really good, modernized, serialized storytelling with these characters. And mm-hmm. that territory feels like it's been explored in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think if they're not going to have it be a continuity of kind of the Justice League timeline or exploring some of those more, you know, less developed, less trodden characters, the thing I would like to most see is what Maddie's proposed. I think barring that, the thing I would like to see then is basically what Liam proposed, which is do it in the BTOS style, like a slightly modernized take on the animation style, have it be in that era, mm-hmm. and have it be kind of standalones, just, you know, little adventures here and there that kind of could fit loosely in any sort of space. I think the challenge with that, though, is that's just not how modern television is done. Everything is pretty much serialized at this point. Even, you know, cartoons are becoming more and more serialized. We get less and less episodic content. But, you know, who knows? That might be a great opportunity to return to a storytelling more like that. So,
yeah. To your point, I think most minutes watched is like one of the major metrics that all these streaming services are tracking on. And so, yeah, that and doing a serialized, doing cliffhanger every episode mm-hmm. is an easy way to keep that rolling, making sure people don't click out of the app to go do something else when they're done watching one episode.
Yeah,
awesome. I'm gonna shoot from the hip here with an unadvertised question. So I'm gonna throw this to Liam because he's used to me shooting from the hip. You get give you guys give you guys a little bit of time to consider.
Crash course.
This. So if we were to do this a serialized show, would you guys like to see sort of like the Mandalorian format, where you have different directors or storytellers take the helm for each episode, or would you rather trust one person's vision for the entirety of a series and kind of have the same feel throughout? Because if you're familiar at all with The Mandalorian, the way that series goes, obviously you have showrunners, you have people that are kind of in charge of making sure that things are going the right way. You have Jon Favreau, who's like, and Dave Filoni, who are in charge of making sure that the series is going the way that they want it to, but they give the different episodes to different directors, which gives each episode kind of its own feel. So Liam, I'll throw it to you first. Would you, let's say they had the option of giving, you know, different episodes, maybe one to Tom King or, you know, Mark Waid or different writers, these like standard DC Comics writers, and they give different episodes to different people, or would you rather see one person kind of at the helm for the entirety of the series?
I think if we adapt that sort of anthology story where it's kind of each episode kind of stands alone, but there's an overarching story that goes through a whole season, then yeah, I think it could be fun. You know, a lot of these writers who are writing comic books and stuff we talked about. Same with like people working on the art side of it. I mean, obviously directors like Sam Liu, who's a freaking rock star at Warner Brothers Animation, doing all these direct-to-DVD DC animated films. And then maybe with an episode, if you're going back to that original BTOS style, to approach somebody who did work on it at that time, you know, a Dan Reba, a Kevin Altieri, someone like that. Having guests kind of come in and work on their style of episodes from an art standpoint, and then having different superstar writers, whether that's James Tynion IV, who's writing Batman right now, or like you mentioned, a Tom King, a Scott Snyder, Gail Simone, someone like that. Gail Simone obviously already wrote a couple, at least one episode of Justice League. So I think it would be interesting to see people, to kind of what Maddie mentioned earlier, is that a lot of these people who either grew up watching the show and are now working with these characters in some other form, or who were in some way influenced by this show, to now get to kind of give them a chance to play in that playground would be that would definitely give it a unique feel. And like you said, it would kind of make each episode kind of be able to stand out on its own while still telling this sort of overarching serialized story.
Perfect. Maddie, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean,
on that one?
I definitely agree with what Liam's saying, right? I mean, you know, each of these shows already has a drastically different feel from one to the next, you know, where we had Batman the Animated Series being super grounded, and then like once the new Batman Adventures came along, we're starting to get into the more comic booky, like mystic kind of side of the DC universe. And then all of a sudden in Batman Beyond, it's very like anime influenced and stuff like that. And it would be nice to definitely see a lot of different people, you know, coming in and spinning, you know, though, if it were to go this anthology way, kind of spinning it their own different directions, that way it you know, each episode feels tonally connected to what time period it would have been taking place in, which this also kind of ties into something that I wanted to say before we got to the shoot to the hip section is if they did this anthology idea, imagine how good the soundtrack would be, right? Going all the way from completely like orchestral rendition specifically for Batman the Animated Series styles episodes to like all of the like cyber rock stuff they were doing in Batman Beyond. Like there'd be so much room to play with, so much just creative stuff, and you know, the more creativity brought to the table, the better.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, I it's probably no surprise. I agree with my esteemed panelists on their opinions about, you know, having a little bit of variety in there. I think if you're doing a very focused, serialized story, you know, if we're doing, say, an adaptation of like an Under the Hood done in DCU format, not in the comics, but in a show, that case, I might want it under like one more consistent vision. But certainly if we're, you know, hoping it's something along the more playful route where there's a lot of opportunity and you're telling different characters' stories, then I think having opportunities to bring in old hats as well as younger comic writers that are clearly influenced by the show would make it really, really interesting. So, I mean, like the Pipe Dream show would be an anthology, different animation style, different creatives, you know, like what's your favorite era? Let's dive in and do an episode on that. I just don't think it's realistic. And so I, you know, again, if we're going for like, what's the most realistic version we're going to get and what's the best version of that, I'd say then probably something set in the BTOS era with that design. And then probably with maybe one or two more dominating creative minds rather than doing, like a lot of different weird stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. You guys have all agreed too much. I knew I should have thrown in some questions about Zeta. That would have really stirred the pot here. Although we do have the habit of just agreeing about it. You come on the DCAU review and it's pretty much just one giant echo chamber. So everybody agrees with everybody.
It's nice.
We need to reach out to some more toxic content creators.
Now we're talking. Get
some real goals on this panel next time.
All right. So we're going to move on to our next question. Not a shoot from the hip one on this one. So we'll start with Chris with this one, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Chris, let's just say that, you're in charge of this. You've got the vision for this show. What heroes and or villains, and it sort of goes along with, okay, if you're going to stick with reality with this, if we are sticking in Batman, the animated series only, what heroes and or villains are you looking to be featured in this?
Is it cliched if I say Condiment King? Because he's my favorite absurd villain. I mean, I would at least love a revisit of the character.
Okay, but as a hero,
possibly
as a hero or a villain, because I've been clipping all these kids WB commercials lately, and I came across one that suggests that he went to a school run by Captain Planet and became a hero.
That is very, very specific. I'm here for it. Let's do that version.
Are kids WB commercials canon now?
Why not?
They all actually live on like the Warner Brothers lot.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine those commercials work on like CN City or Who Framed Roger Rabbit rules.
Yeah. All right.
Like, isn't there a commercial where Batman sings the Jigglypuff song? Like, I don't know if I can.
There's another one where Batman Beyond fights Misty in a Pokemon battle. So like, try to figure out the Pokemon timeline. Comparison to DCAU.
let's canon all of it. It's so worth it.
All right, so Chris, you started with Condiment King. It can only go up from here.
No, not sure if that's a compliment or not. I think it would be fun to explore some of the lesser seen villains. I mean, obviously, if you're going to do a reboot, you have to bring back Mark Hamill's Joker. I mean, you know, we're now watching Justice League. Anytime he makes an appearance, he just elevates the episodes because that character and his performance are just so good. And he's such a weird dynamic to throw in, especially in the more serious shows. So obviously you got to bring back him. You got to bring back Harley. She's more popular than she's ever been. I think some villains got good episodes, but there was more to be done. Like, I would have loved to see more Riddler. Like, Riddler basically was never really properly included in the new Batman adventures.
Or in the Legion of Doom.
Seeing him come back would be great.
That's right.
Or the Legion of Doom. Yeah. He's just not getting the respect I don't know if he really deserves it or not, but we love him regardless and want to see more of him.
Imagine the Riddler versus Question. I would also,
see, that would be interesting. Like, yes. I would also love to see some comic characters that we haven't really seen show up. You know, it's like I just read through all of the Batman 66 comics, and it was really fun to see them bring in characters like Harley and Bane and Killer Croc into that era, characters that never appeared before. And you could almost kind of do the opposite. Like, there are some fun characters that, you know, still have are popular in some degree from the 60s. You could bring back, like, bring in King Tut, bring in like Egghead. I love Egghead. Yeah. I mean, obviously he can't be voiced by Vincent Price, which is an absolute tragedy at this point. But you know, there are a lot of characters we never got a chance to see. And I think what made BTOS so strong was that it really appreciated its villains and gave those villains really interesting stories. And I feel like even by the time they got to the end of BTOS, they were looking for ways to do new dynamics with them, right? So we get a lot of reform stories or attempts at reform stories. Hell, ventriloquist mm-hmm. was cured. He's the only like villain that actually got fully redeemed and became a normal person again. That's been mm-hmm. explored a lot with the existing characters, so it might be worth bringing in some new ones so you have some runway to tell stories rather than either undoing the good storytelling of the past or just treading the same water again. So basically my answer is bring in Condiment King and Egghead. Those are the two I want to see the most. Have them team up. Why not? There's a thematic similarity between the two of them. I feel like they work together.
Excellent. Right, Maddie?
Hear me out. Critters 2.
Should have known.
This time.
Should have
this
known.
This time there are two talking goats. I mean that's a real easy you know joke to make, but I would like to see Farmer Brown at least referenced in some capacity. They brought the Farmer Brown van into Adventures Continue, so obviously the you know behind the scenes team has a spot for the episode. But I think the real easy answer right now is to bring in some of the Adventures Continues characters, especially the ones that like didn't get the action figure treatment like it was suggested they would be getting, right? Like why let those designs go to waste? We've got who was it? Court of Owls, Batman Who Laughs, Flashpoint Batman. Like, why not? Just bring them in. Just especially Flashpoint Batman, especially if we're doing some kind of weird, like, across time situation. That would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, the Flash is the reason we're going across time. but I mean, in the already established continuity, I feel like Paul Dini specifically has really had a hard on for Emile Dorian lately. So it would be interesting to see him revisited, right? Because he got a brief mention in the Adventures Continue as the creator of Mr. Wing, mm-hmm. who obviously we all want to see Mr. Woo-hoo! Wing be brought into animation with me as the only voice actor for Mr. Wing ever in the entirety that's just something we all want to see. But he also brought Emile Dorian up in his Harley Loves Joker series a couple years back, mm-hmm. which is very DCAU influenced, as the creator of another splicer called the Grayson, who is somebody that Harley knew from back in like her college days and everything. And he even brought that character over into what I've been reading on stream right now, the novelization of Mad Love. That came out in 2018. Nice. So it seems as though Emile Dorian would probably be a shoo-in, especially if Paul Dini is attached to it. But I'd also love to see characters like, I think Mr. Freeze would be fun, so long as Paul Dini's hands are kept off of him. and sorry, Paul, I know you gave us Heart of Ice, but you're not allowed to take it away from us. I think Two-Face would be a really fun one, especially after you know the character bit that we got in Justice League versus the Fatal Five, of how he's kind of grown as a character in the time since his last appearance in the new Batman Adventures. I'm trying to think, what was I had another one and it's escaping me now. Harley. There's been so much done with her character since, you know, her original appearance in BTAS. And I feel like it would be a difficult task trying to bring that to this world, especially knowing where her character ends up. But, you know, Paul Dini, Bruce Timm, if you're listening, I did this great video about how maybe she was on the Suicide Squad during Return of the Joker. So you can make it work. You can make it work if you try hard enough. It'd be excellent to see a lot of that growth come through in there. And then, of course, on the hero side, like we've got such an expanded roster of heroes in the DCAU that if they don't pull from it, it's going to be like it's. I don't see how you couldn't pull from it, right? Like, give me more Swamp Thing. The ending of Batman and Harley Quinn, you're just going to throw him in as a joke for 2 minutes? Okay, fine. But now you've got that character model. Use it. Give us more of the Batwomen. like Batwoman's a huge deal right now. She just got the live action show. There are two different Batwomen now in the CW verse. We got three in the DCAU. Use them. You know, even like smaller characters like The Question would be fun to bring in. Dead Man, right? Like we got mention of like how Batman and Dead Man have worked together before. And I know that like we have a tie-in comic showing that. But I don't think that like that was an intentional reference to tie-in material with the way that they very often just brush that off to the side. Show us what your vision is in animation for that. Like, it'd be really cool to kind of, essentially, I'm just pitching, let's just go Justice League Dark. Let's just do it. let's just bring in Justice League Dark. Give us Batman, The Question, Zatanna, Dead Man, and Swamp Thing just all on a team together. Let's go.
Love it.
I mean, I'd watch that. So yeah.
All right, Liam, now that you're last, are there any characters that Chris and Maddie didn't mention?
Believe it or not, yes, I actually think jumping off of Maddie's idea though, if we set this kind of before or let's say during New Batman Adventures, when JLU starts, other Gotham heroes are just already active, like a Huntress, a Black Canary. Seeing them mix it up. I know there was an idea of going all the way back to the original animated series that I think you guys covered in your on your YouTube channel and your lost episodes or lost episode ideas which it was going to involve Black Canary and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
Right,
there was a Black Canary Catwoman pitch that like just didn't happen because they didn't put Robin in it.
That's right. Kids will only watch the show, even though they had produced like set, you know, 40 some episodes without Robin in it. Suddenly, we couldn't do an episode without Robin.
Ugh. It's not about who watches the show. Yeah, it's about who buys the toys.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, I know. It all comes back to that stuff at that time. But yeah. So like seeing like them maybe earlier in their career, a Black Canary or a Huntress, seeing there again, there, I believe there's a tie-in comic where we see Huntress's origins of, you know, the mob killing her family and all that, and her kind of going for revenge. But seeing maybe some of those characters, and I know again, the more we tie it into other projects, the more continuity headaches may pop up. But I think that would be kind of cool if we're picking up heroes that we maybe have seen but didn't get to see their origins explored too much, and whether or not this Black Canary was her mom also the Black Canary back in the 40s, like in the main comics, like is there setting up like some of the older heroes that existed even before Batman and Superman, and if we make just in like casual references, I think would be cool. So definitely, I think seeing some of those other Gotham heroes. I know Bruce Timm has just been on record as he does not give an S about Nightwing, so I'm not even gonna suggest that that he might appear. But yeah, I would like. I mean, again, mentioning if we do consider Adventures Continue to be canon now, I still would really like to see the three Robins interact. Like, I would love to see Jason as the Red Hood interacting with Nightwing and Tim as Robin. I think that would be really fun, and that's honestly something they haven't done a ton of, even in like the main comics. It's like a Robins series where all the different guys and girls meet up to discuss how weird it is that Bruce Wayne keeps putting them in these red and green tights. But yeah, I think that would be a fun dynamic. Just anything more with any of the Robins, I'm always a fan of that. So more kind of character focused episodes on them. And this might be controversial, but like we know it happens. So like show us some of the Bruce and Barbara yes. romance. Like, I mean, you don't have to show us like you showed us in The Killing Joke, but like show them actually like falling in love. Like show that relationship begin to blossom in like in a way that makes sense. Like that would be interesting to explore as well.
Yeah, I mean that would probably, you know, piss a lot of people off, but that's something that like it's already canon. So like if you're dipping your toes back in the well, you gotta at least touch it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say that just because something is canon doesn't mean it has to be revisited. I've never liked the Bruce Barber thing. I know that Bruce Timm pulled that from the 60s TV show where they had more of like a romantic tension than Barber did with Robin. To me, it felt like it didn't work in the DCAU because the Barber Dick dynamic was already so well established. Plus, in the 60s TV show, Gordon was never friends with Batman. Like, they were like associates sort of thing. But in the DCAU, like, they are straight up legit friends. I mean, there's no better example of that than the New Year's diner scene, probably one of the best scenes of all time. And I've just always found it really weird that he then decided it was okay for him to date that guy's daughter.
You're telling me that if Cameron had a daughter, you wouldn't just all of a sudden flip your sexuality around?
Exactly. There's so much to unpack there. I'm not even going to attempt it. So.
Oh, Maddie, that's why I asked the questions here. We're gonna allow me to shoot something. Okay. Man, great answers there. By the way, congrats, guys. You disagreed on something for the first. It wasn't the question that I asked, but you guys had your first disagreement here.
That's right.
It was only like 45 minutes into the podcast, so way to go. All right. Well, that's going to take us to our final question for the panel today, and that is going to be a doozy here. All right. So, final question for the panel here is about the voice acting. So obviously voice acting is such a huge part of this. To this day, people, I think a huge part of the nostalgia of Batman the Animated Series is Kevin Conroy as Batman. You know, there are people,
of course,
when they're listing the great actors that have played Batman, you know, oh, is your favorite Batman Bale, or is your favorite Batman Keaton? Or now you have people that legitimately say, no, Kevin Conroy is my Batman. There's a reason why people loved the Arkham video game so much, you know, the ones that Conroy did, you know, because that Batman performance is so iconic. Now, being realistic here, Kevin isn't getting any younger. You know, we're almost 30 years from the time that this show was originally on the air. So with that, with some of the cast actually no longer being with us, other people maybe have moved on or just are retired and don't do voice acting anymore. Would you guys begin trying to recast here? We're starting fresh, sort of. We're dipping our toes back in. But would you guys be down for recasting and to begin sort of the future of the DCAU for future generations, if this is a launching point for them to begin kind of continuing from this point? Or should we, like, is this sacrilegious and should we just stick with, you know, who we know and stick with these original voice actors? So I forget who went last, so I'm going to go with Maddie because he hasn't gone first at all during this entire panel. So I'll throw it over to Maddie.
This is a big question. I feel like I'm being saddled with so much responsibility to kick it off right. I mean, so personally for me, I think it's a situational thing, right? Like, if you're using the Joker, you can't just recast Mark Hamill, you know. Right. But stuff like Padgett Brewster and God, who was it that did the Harley voice in Batman
the
and Harley
other
Quinn?
Girl from Big Bang Theory,
Melissa Rauch.
Yes, okay. I kept saying Kaley Cuoco in my head, and I was like, no, that's the Harley animation.
That's the other Harley. Yeah,
but like stuff like that didn't bug me too much. But there are obviously ones that you know, it's just iconic, the voices behind them, and that. That's part of what, like, what has me kind of concerned about the series as well, right? Because like I'm sure all of us probably see like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred, right? And he's no longer with us.
Right.
So to me, that says that you know, either they're going to recast him or they're going to set this at a point in time where Alfred's no longer in the picture. And that's where I start getting worried about the continuity issues, right? Like, at that point, it's like, well, do we want Mark Hamill to come back as the Joker? Because then that means Tim is like a 30-year-old by the time Return of the Joker is happening. But from not even a continuity, you know, point of view, there are so many people in the DCAU already who have been recast that, like, it's not going to be that big of an issue to me. Where you can get the original voice actors, it would be nice to have them, right? Like, we're not any of us expecting going into a Batman the Animated Series reunion with like Bruce Greenwood now being Batman.
Neil Patrick Harris is playing Robin.
I mean, he did have a couple DCAU roles.
Oh, that's right. He actually played Nightwing, didn't he?
Was he yeah. Nightwing at one point?
In Under the Red Hood.
In Under the Red Hood.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. I was thinking more or less about him being the weird mind control boy from the Justice League Legends, or being the washed up movie star in Static Shock.
And he was the music meister in Breaking the Bold outside of main DCAU stuff. But
yeah, so I mean,
Flash in New Frontier.
True.
Oh yeah, wouldn't have remembered that.
I mean, but definitely, I feel.
All right,
I feel,
so you guys are casting Neil Patrick Harris here.
Obviously,
yeah, it's all the roles.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I feel most people will really want to stick with the you know original cast, where you can, and if not, get someone who has at least familiarity with that character elsewhere. That way they kind of fit the glove, I guess.
Got it. Chris, throw it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, shocking. I agree. I think, you know, if you're if you're bringing this show back, I think you're doing with deliberate deference to who was involved in the original series. And so, you know, where you can bring back people, it's worth doing. You know, that the animated movies they made that are set in the 1960s TV show, those are super fun. And yeah, obviously, all of the cast has aged a lot and they don't sound anything like they did back in the 60s, but it's still fun to have them in there. Right? It's like, it's fun knowing that's Julie Newmar doing, you know, Catwoman, even if her voice has gotten significantly more gravelly in the meantime, but it doesn't matter because it's just, it's nice to know they've taken the effort to do that. And so I think anyone you can bring back is worth bringing back. I think there's kind of a tier system a little bit where I think there are some characters that are more acceptable to swap out. Like for me, you can't change Conroy, you can't change Hamill, and I think you can't change John Glover's Riddler either. I think his voice is so important to that character. Yes. That's one that would be distracting if they did anyone else. I think everyone else, I would love to see them back. I'd love to see, you know, Lauren Lester come back and Diane Pershing, and like, you know, Arlene Sorkin, obviously she kind of does Harley here and there where she can, but a lot of other people have done it now at this point.
So long as it's not, I think, Tara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Tara Strong's amazing. I think she's fine. I think she does a fine job with those. You know, and I think there are some characters that out of either necessity or if you want to do like a slight creative twist on it, would be totally fine. It wouldn't be distracting. But I think for me, those three are the ones that are just, for BTOS specifically, not necessarily branching out to the rest of DCAU, you can't replace any of those. So,
Liam?
Yeah, so I think to both of you guys' points, like we've already dealt with recastings, right? I mean, the biggest one probably being we've changed Superman voice actors if you count Beyond. Yeah. Like, you know, we've had George Newbern, we've had Christopher McDonald, and you know, both of those guys played Superman after Tim Daly got done playing him for 50-some episodes, however many episodes.
I think it's
Superman
like 52, 56, something like that.
Okay. So yeah, so like, and at the time, like maybe for the first couple episodes of Justice League, you're like, yeah, this is kind of weird. But then the more you watch, the more it doesn't seem that weird. And now for Cal and I on our main show, where unlike the Tim Talk boys, we don't have the fortitude to go in order. So we jump around and like we jump from Justice League to Superman and back and forth all the time. And it's not even something, it's just like, it's the same character to us, but it's just like a different era in that character's life. So is, you know, he's a little bit older in Justice League. His voice changed a little bit, like, you know, whatever, it's fine. You come up with whatever idea, but it just gets less weird the more you hear it. So,
yeah.
And I think that's the same thing with like, if this was, you know, 2004 and only one person had ever voiced Harley Quinn, it would be weird to suddenly have anyone else do it. But now I feel like we're kind of used to that and hearing different voices when it comes to a lot of the villains. I do think Conroy and Hamill are like, that's like non-negotiable if you're doing a revival. Like, I just think, again, I think, and we talk about it all the time, it's like everything worked together to make these shows so memorable and nostalgic. It's the writing, it's the art, it's the music, it's the voice acting. But if you heard not a, a Batman that was, yeah, any of the people that do it, not that they don't do good jobs, but who voice him in other mediums now, people would be upset. And yeah. I think that would be like a really bad foot to start out on for a series. Is you can recast, I think you can recast most of the villains, and even, and someone like Alfred, even like, obviously if they were, if we do it, let's say they do a new Batman Adventures style and Robin's in it, it's not going to be Matt Valencia.
You don't think he right? can still He's capture like a 40-year-old that man now.
I don't, it wouldn't be quite the same, I don't think. If he could play the old Tim Drake from Return of the Joker now, probably.
47-year-old but, Tim Drake being kidnapped.
Yes. Yes, but I don't think so. Like, we're already going to be just of characters who, if we're keeping them the same age they were during the series, we're going to have to recast anyway. So, as Cal mentioned, some of the actors who played them during the original series aren't with us at all anymore. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's, for the most part, I'm fine with it. It's just, it might be a little bit weird if you have somebody else playing the Penguin. I think Mystery of the Batwoman didn't use Paul Williams, did they?
I think it was it Ogden Stiers in Mystery of the Batwoman?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's David Ogden. It's definitely Stiers, yeah.
So yeah, which again, it was probably weird the first time I watched it, but then I watched it a couple more times and it didn't seem so weird to me anymore. So I think the only two like people would not ever get over it if you did this type of deal would be Conroy and Hamill. Like, I think most yeah. everyone else is negotiable for you know, for the average fan. For like, I totally agree about John Glover's Riddler, and I'd love to see people come back to it. You know, any and all people that could. And yes, if they were to mix in a Beyond or a Justice League story or like a Superman or someone, of course I'd want to hear Wilfred L. play Terry, or I'd want to hear you know, actually it could cast again. But again, if it was Superman came back, it could be George or Tim, and I don't think anyone would be that upset, because like, they're both Superman. So yeah. it's that kind of thing where I think there's only a few finite examples of people you absolutely could not recast for this.
Yeah.
Sounds like we all agree again.
Yeah, lots of agreements here. Let's see if there's an agreement here. Start with Chris. Tim Daly or George Newbern?
Ooh, I think I'm gonna go George Newbern, just because we're doing Justice League right now. So like, in right now, that's the voice that I'm hearing. But I mean, it's a hard pick. Honestly, I think they're both amazing, and you know, I think Tim Daly has revisited the characters a few times, and he has that amazing series, the YouTube series, The Daily Show. I don't know if you guys have ever watched that, but it's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
There's a neat bit he does with Kevin Conroy on that one. Yeah. Maddie, what about you?
Yes, I have to answer.
Team Newbern, yeah. Or are you Team Daly?
Christopher McDonald.
Perfect.
Yeah. Shooter McGavin.
Yep.
Excellent.
More like Super McGavin.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, I feel like I'd probably go for George Newbern. I've always had a bigger connection, I feel like, to the Justice League version of Superman than the Superman the Animated Series version. Like, not to say that Superman the Animated Series is bad by any means, but it's definitely like, it just does not keep my attention the same way that Justice League does. And so, you know, having that voice back would be great.
Love it. Liam?
George Newbern might win it. George Newbern might win it for me, just based on the fact that he wasn't involved in the creation of Unity, which is a real, real rough time. When we reviewed that, we were like, I don't understand how anyone involved got to keep working on this show afterward.
Yeah,
I should have cleaned house after that one, but. No, I think I've gotten a greater appreciation for Tim Daly's Superman. I think possibly because we're just coming out of a month where we were reviewing Superman episodes. I think George Newbern got a lot more to do with the character, because they really, up until the, other than the Darkseid episodes, it doesn't feel like a lot of those Superman episodes really gave Tim Daly a ton to do other than just kind of react to the villain of the week or whatever. Whereas obviously with Dwayne McDuffie's writing and everything with the Cadmus arc and everything of taking Superman on this journey of him dealing with repercussions of his past back to legacy all the way through to him choosing to lobotomize Doomsday and taking and doing these things and kind of arguing with other people, whether it's Captain Marvel, not that one, the other one, or the Question kind of poking at him and going, hey, you're not the same guy you used to be. And him grappling with that and him and kind of taking that like, what exactly should Superman be doing in the world? If he has the power to intervene on this, should he, when should he not? And like Tim Daly never really got a crack at that version of Superman. So like, I do appreciate Tim Daly, I think, as your kind of standard garden variety Superman, but most of the big Superman character moments in the DCAU, I think that we all love, come in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So I'd probably be a new Burn Man myself as well.
Well, that will put a exclamation point on our very first episode of Discuss This League. Thank you to our panelists. Guys, we're going to go around the horn here and allow you guys to plug your stuff one more time. Let people know your social media, where they can find you, interact with you, subscribe, listen, like, all that stuff. So throw it over again. Start off with Mr. Lord.
Right. Yeah. So we're Tim Talk Pod. So you can find us at Tim Talk Pod, again with two M's, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail. Like I said, we're currently covering the second season of Justice League right now. And it's really good stuff. Like, I feel like we've kind of gotten through some of the rough patches and now it's pretty smooth sailing from here on out, which is good. Yeah. And then me personally, I am at Lordifer. It's a weird combination of my last name and my first name. So it's Lordopher, not like Lucifer, on Twitter and Instagram as well.
Excellent. Maddie?
So we're just skipping the whole Mr. Wing, the animated series pitch?
Leave that for our next panel.
That's for a future episode.
That's all right. You know, once again, you can find us on YouTube, just searching up Watchtower Database. You can probably find us on all other platforms that way as well. But I know specifically on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram, our handle is DCAU Watchtower. And if for some reason you want to follow me personally, I don't know why you would put yourself through that, but on Twitter it's at Maddie Washburn. On Instagram it is at executive producer Dick Wolf. I'm still waiting for you know, the Law and Order crew to cut me a check to give that one up. I've kind of failed almost all financial capability I've ever had, but I have been sitting on that one for a while, just hoping that you know what? I won't even go that high. $5,000 and it's yours, Law and Order crew.
You heard it here first.
That's the gold mine waiting to happen. That's how you find me.
You heard it here first.
What was that?
Law and Order. Anybody at working Law and Order, if you're listening to this podcast, why? Why are you listening to this podcast?
Executive producer Dick Wolf specifically, if you're listening.
For real. Yes. And last but not least, I'll throw it to my co-host to plug our stuff before we wrap things up here.
Yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And, of course, thank you to Chris and Maddie for being here. We definitely want to hear feedback on this, because again, this is the first one for the type of show this is the first one we've done, and two, for the idea that we're talking about. I don't think there's anybody who loves the DCAU who doesn't have a pretty strong opinion about this. Either I want more of it, I want any and all that you can give me, I don't want it, leave the memories alone. So I definitely want to hear some feedback. Tweet us at DCAU Review or leave a comment on our Instagram, same username, at DCAU Review. Let us know what, and this is a big topic. And I think a lot of people will have strong opinions about it.
Absolutely. Don't forget, you can hopefully subscribe to this podcast. Just search DCA Review on your favorite podcast app. You can also check all of our archived episodes at DCAUReview.com. But for our panelists, Chris, Maddie, and Liam, I am Cal, and we will talk to you on the next episode of the Discuss This League.
on the next Discuss This League.
For more content from these creators, subscribe to the Pod Tower on YouTube. There you'll find more discussions, videos, and podcasts from these creators. That's the Pod Tower on YouTube.
All right, now hear me out.
Been a while.
Critters Part 2, Mr. Wing is in the mix. He gets the growth hormone.
Yeah. He gets those weird red eyes. Like the
apocalypse-looking Jack Kirby eyes.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm in. We find out it's all Mother Box technology.
Brilliant.